After weeks of negotiations, a bipartisan Senate group finally reached a deal on its $1 trillion-ish infrastructure package. If passed, it would be one of the biggest infrastructure bills in U.S. history. It includes funding for clean drinking water initiatives, increasing public transit accessibility, making broadband internet universally available, roads, of course, and more. But it's not a done deal yet. The full Senate would have to approve it. Plus, there's the House. We're talking now about the fate of the trillion-dollar Senate infrastructure bill, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you see the biggest need for infrastructure improvement here in Wisconsin and in the country at large? What do you want to know about what's included in the bill? Do you want to see it passed? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen Smith is a professor of political science and a distinguished professor of social sciences at Washington University in St. Louis. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be back with you.
Before we start to look at the policy details in here, I want to ask you, is it worth taking a close look at the policy details? Is this a thing that you think might make it across the finish line?
Absolutely. The bipartisan deal seems like pretty much a slam dunk in the Senate. And I think the only question in the House is whether or not liberals will find voting on this before a larger package comes up to be a satisfactory arrangement. And so there's some serious question in the House, but there's enough support for it. It's just a matter of strategy there. I think we're going to see this bipartisan package adopted inside the month.
What do you see as some of the key elements here? The money's going a lot of different ways. What are the most important things that stand out to you?
This really is a big deal. There's, approaching $600 billion of new spending beyond what was already planned, which was already in the neighborhood of $500 billion on infrastructure in the federal budget. So this is a great expansion of federal funding for roads and bridges and mass transit, great improvements in the airports and ports, the first big federal investments in electric vehicle infrastructure. And there's some brand new things. The Texas power situation last year has led the federal government to want to invest big time in the power infrastructure, our so-called grid, electric grid, in order that really must be improved for us to move into renewables in a bigger way. A huge investment in broadband by creating large financial incentives for broadband service providers to move into areas that are poorly served at present. So it touches on a great number of things. Even it goes as far as to spend $21 billion on environmental remediation. Superfund and other related programs have been grossly underfunded in the view of environmentalists for a long time. And this provides a lot of catch-up money. So it's a big deal. It's not a minor consideration. And it's going to have a huge impact on the physical infrastructure of the country.
Did we need this kind of upgrade of our physical infrastructure? Every now and then we hear adjectives like crumbling or outdated or overdue repairs, things like that. Do we need something like this, do you think?
Well, it's kind of hard for us as regular people to know something about needs on this scale. Mm-hmm. But when you turn to something like the American Society of Civil Engineers, who keep track of the crumbling infrastructure, they would say this is just a small bite at a very, very, very much larger problem, but it's an important improvement. Most of us have some experience with declining roads and bridges. Most of us think that public transit in major cities hasn't really received a major investment in a very long time. Most of us even think that Amtrak has been grossly underfunded and that surface transportation between major cities really needs to be improved. So I think the need is real. And I think many people would argue that it actually grossly underfunds what's needed, even in physical infrastructure.
We're talking to political scientist Stephen Smith from Washington University, looking at an infrastructure deal in the Senate by a bipartisan group of senators that may actually pass after years of talk about some kind of infrastructure deal. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, hopes, fears, and or questions. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, let's talk about how this is being paid for now. A lot of the COVID relief, there wasn't so much concern about pay-fors, but the negotiators here said, hey, we want to make sure that the money's coming from somewhere real. Democrats wanted to rescind the Trump-era tax cuts. Republicans didn't want that. Republicans said, hey, how about user fees? Democrats want that. The compromise, neither, as I'm understanding. Where are they finding the money then?
It's it's more than a dozen different little pots of money that they're either using an accounting, I don't want to say it's a gimmick, but money that's already been appropriated for other purposes is going to be repurposed for this. So as you say, they're going, the biggest single source of money is repurposing COVID relief funds that that have not gone to the states and local governments as originally planned months ago. But beyond that, there's a wide variety of changes. They're reinstating Superfund fees so that companies that are responsible for the ground pollution have to pay fees again. There's a variety of customs user fees that are going to be added that adds up to $5 or $6 billion. The number of items that are around $4, $5, $6 billion is actually pretty pretty large. Some of this is somewhat speculative, I must confess. For example, they throw in $50 billion just because they think that the spending is going to juice up the economy some, and that's going to lead to additional revenues, so-called dynamic scoring. But there's a little guesswork in that. That's not guaranteed. But it's been enough to persuade more than a dozen Republicans in the Senate that it's paid for. And from the Democrats' point of view, that's all they needed to do, is to persuade about that many Republicans that the money is there.
Is there something about infrastructure spending that makes it palatable for voters and constituents? It gives members of Congress something they can point to when they go back home?
Absolutely. It's something where, you know, every member of Congress can show up for a groundbreaking ceremony, for a new interchange on the freeway, for a new water or sewer plant, the kinds of things that everyone in a community benefits from. And the benefits are so wide. Big business benefits, because some of this money actually goes into the pockets of big business, which is constructing these projects. And so it's very easy for members of Congress to like this. For example, there's probably around $9 billion in this to improve Western water storage. Many Republicans are from the Plain States and Mountain West, where water storage is a pretty serious problem. And there's a big chunk of money going into improving those facilities, which have aged and are greatly in need of expansion, and especially with worries about new arid lands because of climate change, there's been great concern there. So all of those Republicans can go home and say that they were responsible for bringing this money back to their states. That helps get those votes for the bill.
Given that, why has it taken so long? I know some of the post great recession relief, early Obama administration, a lot of that was infrastructure-y. I think the Obama administration had talked about doing more. Definitely there was thought that the Trump administration and congressional Democrats could work together on infrastructure. Given the popularity, why did it take so long to get here?
Well, you probably remember that the White House, the Biden administration, proposed two additional plans after the COVID relief bill was passed. This one is called the Jobs Plan, and then there was one that we now are calling the Human Infrastructure Package. And Republicans had some interest in physical infrastructure, but they didn't approve of how much the Biden administration had proposed. So while there is about $600 billion of new spending in the bill the Senate's considering at the moment, the Biden administration had proposed, more than double that. The Republicans said that was too rich. But if they were willing to, if the Biden administration was willing to consider something smaller, a bipartisan coalition might be possible. Well, the Biden White House took the lead on this and said, yeah, we're willing to cut a deal to get a bipartisan bill. But it proved to be really quite difficult to negotiate. Eventually, they came up with something. And in mid-July, they announced the broad outlines. And it's taken them 3 weeks to come to terms on the specifics. But that meant that the big chunks, especially on the human infrastructure side, were left untouched. And the Democrats, in the meantime, began to devise the plan to take that up in a separate bill, knowing that there wouldn't be any Republican support for it. In fact, there'd be a Republican filibuster of it in the Senate. The Democrats turned to the budget process, where they can use a process that we all know as reconciliation that allows the bill to come up, not be filibustered, and subject only to a simple majority vote. So the Democrats have been working on two tracks, and the details of that second track, that larger, really much larger human infrastructure bill, is likely to be over $3 trillion as opposed to $600 billion, are yet to be worked out. A general plan was announced in mid-July among Senate Democrats, the Senate Budget Committee Democrats, and the majority leader, Chuck Schumer from New York, announced that they had the outline of a general plan, but they have yet to act on that. And that would happen, according to Schumer, sometime soon after they pass this first smaller bipartisan plan on physical infrastructure.
We continue our talk with Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University, talk about what's in the Senate's big infrastructure bill and the road ahead. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you want infrastructure money going in your community, in your state, around the country? Call 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeremy is with us in Kenosha. Jeremy, hi.
Hi.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I think the infrastructure money should be spent on bicycle infrastructure and mass transit, like light rail infrastructure, and that would help our obesity epidemic, reduce the amount of traffic that is around in city and suburbs. And I think that there's no end to the amount of road expansions and road repairs that are going to be needed if we don't do something about the amount of automotive traffic. So we have to make it a lot more attractive for cyclists, or else it's never going to happen.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for the call. You mentioned earlier, Steve, some money going to Amtrak, some other mass transit programs. What else do we know about what's in this package when it comes to Jeremy's concerns?
Well, the kind of detail that Jeremy's asking for probably is not in the bill at all, but it certainly would be expected that states and localities that apply to the federal government for grants under these programs would seek to expand bicycle lanes and bicycle paths, and even make mass transit buses and so on more amenable to bike riders who want to take their bikes with them. There's also quite a bit of money for road safety, and bicycle safety is a part of federal policy on road safety. So I think we're likely to see an improvement there. But the balance of federal funding between support for roads and bridges on the one hand and public transit on the other is not changing much. Both are getting a huge dose of new investment. In fact, it's probably the single largest new investment in public transit that we've ever seen. So it might not be the right balance for Jeremy, but certainly we're going to see a lot more money spent on things that he's asking for.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Another funding area that we mentioned earlier that's we've talked a lot about here in Wisconsin is funding for broadband internet infrastructure. It's a big issue in rural parts of our state and sometimes not so rural parts of our state. How much of a focus is there on that high-speed internet access?
Well, it's spending like we've never seen before, at least out of the federal government. The plan calls for $65 billion to be spent on the extension of broadband services. Much of this will come in the form of incentives to broadband providers to move into difficult to reach areas, which, as you say, is largely rural areas where the cost of extending lines has been prohibitive for many of them. Many rural communities realize they're losing business because they can't get high-speed broadband for their small business or manufacturing plants locally. So this will be a big investment in broadband. And I think, at $65 billion, the average state's going to get more, just think, more than $1 billion per state in broadband funding. That's a big increase in funding.
We're talking about infrastructure, a plan in the Senate, bipartisan support for it. Stephen Smith is with us, political science professor at Washington University in St. Louis. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions. Steve, I know you have a particular interest in how the Senate and the House hash out details with this plan. Supposing the Senate passes something, is it likely that the House is going to just vote up or down on what comes out of the Senate? Or are they going to do their own thing and then have to mesh it all together?
Well, the liberal Democrats, and in fact, most Democrats, simply want this physical infrastructure bill coming in at about $600 billion of new spending, or about $1 trillion total, to be paired with a larger $3.5 trillion bill that's now being called the Human Infrastructure Bill. And Schumer says that the Senate will act to move forward on that second bill as soon as this bill is passed. In the House, Speaker Pelosi has said that the House Democrats will not act on the smaller physical infrastructure bill until the second one is completely through the Senate, which could take until sometime in the fall. That pits her against some of the moderates in her own party. The Blue Dog Coalition and a bipartisan group called the Problem Solvers Caucus leadership, and both groups have written the speaker asking that the smaller physical infrastructure bill receive a vote as soon as it comes over from the Senate. She says no. She says that we have to wait until the larger human infrastructure bill comes. She wants to hold out because she needs, she wants to continue to put pressure on Senate Democrats and some of those Senate Republicans to actually get action on this second bill. And she's backed by liberal Democrats, some of who say they would never vote for the smaller bill until the larger one is ready too. So the situation is really quite fluid in the House. It's not exactly clear how she will balance the liberal against moderate forces in her party over the timing of votes on these two packages. And of course, the second package isn't a sure bet in the Senate. It requires a majority. And we still have some moderate Democrats in the Senate, Manchin and Sinema most notably, who have said that the $3.5 trillion figure worked out between the leadership on the Democratic side of the Senate and the White House is too large. They'd like to see it reduced. And they need their votes. It's a 50-50 Senate. You can't lose any Democrats in order to get that bill through the Senate. So there's a lot of negotiating to go forward here. And August, usually a quiet month in Washington, may prove to be a loud and noisy month.
Time for one more caller. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is very complicated, but I want to say that there is a way to transmit power to vehicles in the roadway. Bordeaux, France has a trolley that runs around without a hot line or anything, no hot rail, so it's not dangerous, and it must do it by induction.
Tom, it sounds like too more complicated we get into in the last just a minute and a half we have, Steve, but a fundamental change in the way our road infrastructure works. How tough would that be to pull off?
Well, the thing that Tom is actually asking for is more research and development in this area. That kind of technology he's requesting is very expensive. It could only be used in a very limited way, at least in the foreseeable future. But what's important about this physical infrastructure bill, and actually the second human infrastructure bill, is that both have quite a bit of money for research and development. And in the energy area in particular, there's billions now that are being included for additional research and development, both by the government itself and through grants to the private sector and university community. So this is not a bill, the physical infrastructure bill, that focuses on climate change. But in fact, the research and development is going to target energy technologies in an important way.
Tom, thanks for that call. Sorry we don't have time to do full justice to it, but Steve, you did a good job there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
That's Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. He joined us for a look at the Senate infrastructure bill. Bipartisan group of senators have an agreement on it. Now it goes to the full Senate and then the House.